Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Ms. Van Zandt. This is Vanessa. It's so nice to talk to you.
You too.
I'm joined on the line by Morgan. You there, Morgan?
I'm here, y'all. It's raining. It's raining over here. Oh, this Ayala. On TV, can I call you? What should we call you?
I know, that's a good question.
Whatever feels right in your spirit is good.
You know, ain't that always the right answer? It's always the right answer. Let me tell you, it's hard because many of our listeners will know that I lived in Ghana for 5 years. And so anybody who is at least 10 years older than you, you have to call auntie.
And okay.
So like, even, you understand what I mean? And even like my mom was, I have a 90-year-old cousin. She's a second cousin of my mom. And I call her Auntie Zoe. And my mom was like, you know, that's your cousin. I was like, I know, but she's 90. I was like, I can't call her cousin Zoe. Yeah. And so I always feel some kind of way about it. But
well, in Yoruba, we do, we say mama. Mama is an element of respect. Like they do say auntie in Ghana. They say, you know, miss in the South. So we say mama. Uh-huh. So mama Iyamla, auntie
mama
Iyamla. Yeah.
Yes!
I like
that. Yeah, I like that too. I like that too. Well, where are you this morning?
I'm in Maryland.
Is it raining there?
No.
It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, no, I'm walking. Yeah, and just in case you didn't know, Ayala, both Morgan and I actually walk when we talk to the community and when we have these conversations. It's part of the call to action and the mission of Girl Trip to get as many women and people as possible out walking and talking with us. So I'm, I don't know where you are in Maryland, but I'm not that far from you. I'm in Washington, D.C., and it's actually a perfectly beautiful, like, sunny, crisp, but cold day here in Morgan. It feels exactly like how it should feel like the couple days after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Really
well,
beautiful.
I'm in South Carolina. Yeah, I'm in South Carolina. Mama V, and I'm on an island. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called St. Helena Island. It's a historic island.
Yes.
But mostly black folks. Where Dr. King wrote, "I Have a Dream" speech here. It's so beautiful. So I've been living here for just over a year. Just over a year.
Oh, good. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. So where should we start, Vanessa?
First, by just saying thank you, Ayala, for being genuinely a significant part of the Girl Trip origin story. It was over 25 years ago. I can remember the day like it was yesterday. I can remember what I had on and everything that on my lunch break at work, I was 20 years old. I was just trying to make a way out of no way. And a friend of mine, Tahasha Han is her name. And she said, wow, you're talking to Ayala Van Zandt. This is such a full circle moment. And I say, I know. And she told me about you and she told me and we were learning all about you and we were roommates together. And I went on my lunch break to buy your book. One day my soul just opened up, 40 days and 40 nights to spiritual growth. And when I got back from my lunch break and I got on the elevator doors opened and there was this tall black girl. She looked so cool. And I was just like, hey, I just got this book on my lunch break. It's called One Day My Soul Just Opened Up. And I asked her if she wanted to read the book with me. And she said yes. And that was Morgan. And that is how we met each other. And I still have my original copy of the book. I don't know if you still have yours, Morgan, where I have all my notes in it, but we did the whole 40. Yeah, we did the whole, I feel emotional talking about it. We did the whole 40 days together. And I just remember feeling like I didn't know where to start coming out of my own trauma story. I didn't know about therapy. I didn't know about healing. I didn't have the language. I didn't have a reference point. And that book was like the very first thing that ever got into my hands where I was just like, wow, there is a pathway out of this, this space that I was in. And so 25 years later, I'm still on that healing journey. And I've been on the journey with Morgan for all those years. And we started Girl Trek over 10 years ago. And now over a million women are walking with us. And I just want to say thank you so much for the work that you've done.
Wow. Wow. How beautiful. Thank you for noticing. And thank you most of all for being willing. I think that's the big thing for you, for Morgan, for all of the women that walk. The willingness is the key, you know, just to be willing to try it each day, to get up each day, to do a little more each day. That is just, that's the first ticket toward healing, is our willingness.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not easy. And like chasing ease is so much better, and staying masked up, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so much easier. As a Black person in my body, this female body, as like somebody who grew up poor, it's just so much easier to just phone it in. It's just so much easier. I was talking to this,
No, go ahead.
I was talking to this, ooh, Mama V, I sat next to this fine man in first class. Shout out to Siobhan, my assistant, who got me upgraded to first class. And I was eating some fries at the airport. He walked by and I said, "Hello, New York." Like, I got on the thing and they were like, "You must be in first class." I was like, "Ain't no way. I work for a nonprofit." They were like, "You got upgraded." I said, "Look at God." So I sat down next to this man and he was so fine, cover of Men's Health magazine, like trainer for the New York Knicks, and kind, and got all this spiritual language. And just a couple of days ago, I was talking to him. So long story short, we talked on the plane. We had a good time. I was talking to him on the phone, and I was asking him if he thinks that black men could ever really truly love and care for Black women. And he's like, "I am not sure of that," because his audience is mostly white women in his fitness industry. And he was like, "I'm not sure," because he had issues with his mama. So this is a longer story than I thought. But my point is that we got trauma. Even the most beautiful cover magazine people, we all got trauma. And so it's easier to just go to what is easy to me, but it's more righteous. And it's more whole. It is closer to the rapture of being alive when you can dial in and get closer and get into true alignment with what is real. And that to me feels like a journey every single day. Like, how do you tap into what is real?
Well, I think when you say easy, I think what it is familiar. And that's not germane to people of color. You know, that the brain has a negativity bias, just the human brain. It will remember the worst thing out of 50, you know, and bring that back to your mind. Because the impulses of trauma, or the imprint, the impression, the emotional wiring of trauma makes it familiar. So it's not that we do things or don't do things because we want to or we can't. It's because we will do what is familiar first. So particularly for Black women, it's familiar to feel bad. It's familiar to struggle. It's familiar to suffer. It's familiar to feel disappointed. You know, most of us build within ourselves, we'll build an orphanage rather than a temple, because an orphan has been disappointed and abandoned and rejected. And so many of us feel that way. While in a temple, it means you're divine and noble and powerful. And so many of us don't feel that way. So because we will fall into what's familiar, we end up building an orphanage within, as opposed to building a temple within. And your work is what's supporting women and building their temple, you know, where you take control, where you have the power, where you're moving your feet, where you're taking dominion over your physical being, which of course impacts your emotional and your psychological being. So that's why I think your work is so important and why I'm so grateful for it.
Mama V, you know how you get the, like, that radiant energy in your ear and then it goes down your back and it'll make you feel like shouting like your mama? That's how I felt when you were talking. I just be feeling like all the time, Vanessa and Mama V, I just have been feeling like shouting, like pushing the earth off my feet. You know what I mean? And like elevating and rising. And I'm so tired of being down. I'm so tired of that being my familiar. I'm tired of it. Like, my mama tired of it and her mama tired of it. We're just like tired.
Well, you know, the thing is, we're moving into such a beautiful and powerful time right now where it's not going to be about our doing anymore. It's going to be about our being. And that beingness is created from inside. That beingness is created with your breath. That beingness is created with sound. That beingness is created with color, with movement. And it's not going to be anymore about, I've got to do this or do that or have this or have that. And I'm so excited about that for us as women, because the power that we have just being women, you know, is going to be highlighted and amplified if we are willing to give up the familiar. You know, if you're willing to take 5 minutes before you walk and after you walk to just get still, to just breathe. If we're willing to put this phone down for 10 minutes, 15 minutes at a time. If we're willing to wear a dress.
Come on.
Tying the madam up so she can't breathe. Because
come on.
we need that. We need that electronic, that electric, that energetic connection to the earth. And, you know, we do it for fashion. We do it for style. We got to come up out of these pants.
We need some walking skirts. I hear you saying, yeah. Girl, Jimmy needs some walking skirts. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
we do.
You can do that too. Put your shorts on underneath, or don't put anything on underneath. Hello.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the reasons Black men can't take care of us is because we wear the pants. That doesn't make us wrong. It doesn't mean that we're doing it wrong. We have done for so long what was necessary for all of us, for Black men, Black women, Black children. But now things are changing. Things are changing. And we have to be willing to change. And I think it just starts with us just being willing to do what is unfamiliar.
It's so interesting that you say that, because I'm saying that at some point you got to ask, if God is in fact love, what does that look like when I wake up? If God in fact is the word, what words am I speaking over myself in my own head? You know, and like really interrogate it in your own experience of being. So I need to go back and play everything you just said, and I will wear a dress. I'll connect energetically to this earth and barefoot.
Well,
I've been reading a lot about that too, like how we discharge energy and pull energy in from Mother Earth by touching our feet to the earth.
Feet to the earth by having the madam available. But I want to touch on a couple of things that you just spoke to. As an ordained minister, I want to speak to it. I also want to acknowledge acknowledge those of us who cannot embrace the biblical teachings because of the masculine domination, the way the word has been taught to us, given to us, the way that it's written. I teach a class every Sunday called the Metaphysical Bible Interpretation, how to love the Bible, how to read the Bible metaphysically so that we can take those scriptures and use them and as practical tools in our life, because the Bible is full of wisdom. But if you're just reading about, you know, the bullock and the lamb and the slaughter on the altar and the, you know, the sin and the, your grandmother's
terrifying.
Soul, she don't want to hear that.
It's
right,
terrifying.
That's right. I'm sorry, I, you know, as an ordained minister, I'm saying that to you. So, and so many of us have turned away from the wisdom and the value of those scriptures because of the way they were used to oppress us. And the way, you know, the Bible talks about the oppression of women, if you read it lytically, historically, or allegorically. So we have to learn how to extract the wisdom from there and use it in a way. Because let's take something as classic as, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, what does that mean? Are we talking about a man who's leading sheep? How many people know that when you see Lord in the Bible with a capital L, you're not talking about a personage, you're talking about the universal laws and the way the universe operates. When you see Lord where all the letters are capital. You're talking about the personage of the Christ, who we call Jesus. When you see Lord lowercase, then you're talking about a possibility. How many of us know those kinds of things? When you say the Lord is my shepherd, they're talking about the laws of the universe will guide me. But how many of us even know what the laws
say
of
it,
the universe
say
are?
It.
Okay,
say
we
it.
Know law of attraction because they made a movie about it. Some of us have heard about cause and effect, but how many of us know the law of free will, the law of forgiveness, the law of unconditional love, the law of polarity, the law of correspondence? How many of us know anything about the 103 universal laws that cover us? You know, we know what goes around comes around, but there's a law that governs that. Because it's not just what you do, it's what you think, it's what you feel. So we have to be willing again, to not cling to the familiar, but to be open and to be vulnerable and to really open ourselves to the magnificent energy and information that's available to us at this time. You know, when I was training to be a coach back in the 90s, one of the things I had to do was a 2 a.m. walk with God. Every morning.
Oh my God, Mama,
can
days. I tell you something? Can I tell
yes.
you something about that? There, here on this island, they do something called, or a generation ago, they did something called seeking, which was exactly that. And you know, this island
yes.
is the most African place in America. And they
yeah.
they would send their young devotees, people who were seeking God's face, into the woods at right before the break of dawn. And
yeah.
they would seek God's face. So African, okay, keep going. Sorry.
No worries. But what happens if that face that you see is not masculine? What happens if it's your face? What happens if it's your face? What happens if it's a feminine face? I remember
yes.
I was 21 years old in the midst of postpartum depression, and I took a fistful of phenobarbital to kill myself.
Mm.
And as I was slipping out of consciousness, on my kitchen floor with my six-week-old baby sleeping in the other room, I saw this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman. Beautiful woman. And I, you know, I didn't know if I was asleep, awake, or whatever. And she said this to me. She said, "Do you want to die or do you want to learn how to live?" Because I didn't want to die. I wanted to stop hurting. So do you want to die or do you want to stop hurting and learn how to live? And I said, "I want to stop hurting." She said, "I'm going to teach you how to do that." That was, my daughter just passed away. She was 48 years old. That was 48 years ago. And when I woke up after they pumped my stomach, it was maybe 2 or 3 years later where I found a picture. I saw a picture of that woman that I saw in my kitchen as the life was draining out of my body. And her name was Yemaya. She was a feminine face of God. And nobody, I didn't know, I was like, "Oh my God, this is the lady." This is the lady I saw. And then I went on a whole trek to understand who is Yemaya, and who is Oshun, and who is Oya, and who is Mary Magdalene. And who is Sophia?
Yeah.
And who is Esther? And who is Ruth? And who is Thalka? All of the women in the Bible that they don't teach us and talk about. They teach us about the ones that helped the men. But there were a whole bunch of other ones in the background doing lots of good stuff. So my point is, just as women, let us walk into this new year, this 2024, a universal 8-year. Let us walk with a willingness to learn more truth, more concrete information about who we are as women, as the feminine face of the source, God, creator, spirit. Let us be willing to do that.
and stop being afraid of going to hell. When I was married to a man who was whipping my butt every day, that was hell.
I'm so sorry you lost your daughter.
Yeah, both of my babies are gone. Yeah.
I am so sorry. Yeah. And I am so grateful that Yemaya has been holding you up and that all the divine feminine on the whole universe has been instructing you and teaching you how to live through that kind of trauma and through a man beating your ass and all the stuff that women on here know intimately.
Yeah.
Intimately.
Yeah.
So I am also grateful for that. Vanessa, I had to turn off that Bible app the other day because they started talking about Sarah. And then they talked about Hagar, and they used the adjective to describe Hagar, like she was belligerent or something. I said she was a slave that was used. And I just had to turn the whole app off. I was and I had to write them a letter because I was like, I cannot take that kind of violence anymore. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, do you know the metaphysical definition of Hagar and what Hagar means? From a metaphysical, and metaphysical meaning beyond the physical. And I know we're not going to talk about the Bible, but Hagar, metaphysically, is the natural soul. The natural soul. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. And it's the natural soul, but it's in its state of awakening. It's in its state of awakening. And in its state of awakening, the first thing the soul does is feel. It feels. So Hagar represents the soul in the state of awakening that feels in order to create. Now, in the physical body, feeling in order to create is considered sensual or sexual. Because you can't create new life unless you have sexual experience, which feels a certain way. So that's the metaphysical meaning of Hagar. And what they reduced that to allegorically is that she was a prostitute.
And owned by another person.
Yeah. And just think about how very often as women, when we are into our sensuality or when we're into our feeling, when we're into the movement of our body in a way that feels good to us, we're called loose and whores and prostitutes and everything. But that's just the ignorance of the masculine ego and human ignorance, you know? But listen, it's all turning around. It's changing. Things are changing. We just have to be willing. And like you said, let us stop tolerating any level of violence against any woman, not just Black women, but any woman. We have no idea how the red women are suffering on the reservations. We don't know. But I have a principle that I live by. I am not my sister's keeper. I am my sister. I am. So whatever my sister is going through, whatever color she is, if she's got breasts in the womb, even if she lost her breast or her womb, if she's a woman, she's my sister. And so her concerns are my concerns. Men don't think like that. And see, we've been trained to be men in skirts. We think with the leading masculine domination, which is competition, which is comparison, you know, that's how we, but it's changing. It's changing. It really is.
Yeah, but we have to want it to change inside of ourselves. You said something about what if the face of God was you? And I remember specifically there is in one of your books, you told a story of a girl named Nia. And that story stuck with me my whole life, that studied the Book of Wisdom, and it was all bejeweled, and these men brought it in. And after she studied and the wise woman died, then she opened it up, and it was a book of mirrors. And I was just like, whoa, teach me how to live. Teach me how to live.
Yeah.
We need a walk, Vanessa, like a metaphysical walk with Mama K. I mean, Mama P. I'm dyslexic. Mama P. Yeah. Oh, that would be so beautiful.
But, you know, it starts with little things. You know, the greatest source of power, universal power, is presenting itself right now, which is the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting that the sun, which is masculine, comes out when everybody's up, and the moon, which is feminine energy, comes out when everybody's asleep? So as women, we've got to be willing to be sometimes in the silent darkness of our own insides, you know, just go within and know that everybody's in shock. We're all in shock. So it's no big thing to have trauma. I don't mean it's not a big thing. We all have it, but know that it can be neutralized. It can be dismissed because it's just energy. And the moon governs the 96% of the planet. So we have that energy within us. You know, in Native American culture, they call our menstruation your moon cycle, because that's when you're neutralizing energy. That's why a lot of traditions, they don't want women to do certain things during their menstrual cycle, because they're neutralizing energy. They did a study back in the 70s, and they were amazed to find that they studied some 2,000-3,000 women, and very rarely, it was like 0.6% of women had ever been raped on their menstrual cycle. Why? She's neutralizing power. But how many of us know how to do that? How many of us, we know how to sunbathe. Do we know how to moonbathe? Do we know how to get in the moonlight and neutralize energy, feelings, thoughts? Do we know the breath that connects us to the moon? We don't know these things because people stop teaching them. Women start teaching them. We start putting our old women in nursing homes instead of listening to their story and getting their medicine. So these are the things that we have to be willing and open to do, and stop being afraid that if we have a crystal or burn some sage that we're going to hell.
Ayanla, you are speaking about the divine feminine so much, and you just talked about our elders and how we keep them away from us and don't source their wisdom. And Girl Trek, we have a tradition that we teach women all over called Daughters of, and it is to name your maternal lineage as far back as you can with an I am statement to bring those women into the room. And so it's I am okay. Vanessa, the daughter of Annette, the daughter of Olympia, the daughter of Melvina, the daughter of Katie. And then Morgan, maybe you do your daughters a story. And then I'd love if you could just share who you are the daughter of, just to call their names.
Okay. I would love to.
Yeah.
V, I haven't talked to you in so long, but I've really been struggling with my daughters of story. I just really have been struggling. It's just because I'm breaking the chains of every time I call their names. I am in it. I don't want to be that scared like they were.
Wait a minute. Before you call their names, let's do it from you. Not that you don't want to be that. It's that you're elevating it. Those of us in the 21st century, everything that we do, we are elevating our ancestors and our, what's the people that come after us, our predecessors or whoever the hell they are. So we thank our ancestors. We thank the mothers in our matriarchal line, the mothers in our patriarchal line. We thank them. We thank them for their courage, to keep going, because had they given up, we wouldn't be here. We thank them. We thank them for their wisdom. We thank them. And now we give ourselves permission to cancel, to eliminate, to close, to neutralize, to disconnect all attachments to thought patterns, belief patterns, behavior patterns, to contracts and covenants, to secret agreements that serve them but no longer serve us. So we give ourselves permission to cancel those things with gratitude, knowing that they went through things that we will never have to go through, and they went through them so that we won't have to go through them. So we give thanks to them and we give ourselves permission to elevate ourselves, knowing that their cells, their genes, their atoms in our body will be elevated. I am Iyanla, born Rhonda Eva Harris, daughter of Sahara Elizabeth, daughter of Elizabeth, daughter of Binet, daughter of Trimona, daughter of Rissi, daughter of Eva, the mothers in my matriarchal line. As I am lifted, they are lifted. Now, call your people's name.
As I am lifted, they are lifted. I am Morgan, the daughter of Carol, the daughter of Leith, the daughter of Sarah, the daughter of Vice Ann. I got some new ones before you. The daughter of Caroline, the daughter of Cece, who came from the continent of Africa. And as I am lifted, they are lifted.
Yes. Yes. They did what they had to do so that we could be here, because had they jumped ship, we wouldn't be here. Had my grandmother not picked cotton, I wouldn't be here. Had she not been raped by that white man, I wouldn't be here. Had my mother not cleaned toilets on the Pennsylvania Railroad for 20 years, I wouldn't be here.
Wow.
So we know what they went through, and we honor it. We just choose not to do it, because the law of free will says that we can break historical, generational, ancestral contracts, covenants, and agreements. We can break them. We can cancel them.
Yes. Thank you
and
for
we
that.
We don't have to carry their pain. We don't have to carry their pain, but we have to see it and look at it, you know, with a different level of consciousness. So it's good.
Yeah.
All of us, all of the women in Girl Trek and beyond, all of the women in Girl Trek and beyond, you know, it's just, again, being willing to see it different, hear it different, do it different, without the fear that you're going to hell and you're going to offend Jesus.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. You know, we're taught to be positive, and that positivity can be so toxic because it's so fake. And it's like, of course I know to say I'm grateful, you know, they made a way out of no way. Like, they walked away. Like, I know all how to say all of that. And in my stomach, I feel the control that my mom had to have over her life. And
right.
Vanessa, I didn't tell you this, but we do something called the stress protest. You know, about every other year, every year, whenever spirit says yes. And we had this woman come who did work with kind of foremothers and ancestors. And Vanessa, her mom is on the island, and she is a matriarch.
Mm-hmm.
And they was like, you need to have Isantayo, you know, come over and work with you and your energy more. I was like, okay. So I went to her house. She's become like my mama here. And she was like doing touch therapy, which, you know, in this society, people call Reiki, but we've known our whole lives, so don't get scared of titles. We know how to touch and agree. And so she was just like touching and like playing sound bowls and stuff. And she got to my stomach and she goes, ooh, ain't none of this yours. Ain't none of this yours. And I knew it was like my mother's and my mother's mother and my mother's mother. And the last woman that I used to name is Sarah. And Vanessa and I went to Black Wall Street because we're doing some amazing stuff. I can't wait for you to continue to be our Mama B. Like, I just can't wait for you to get involved and advise this movement. I can't wait. But one of the things we're doing is Black History walking tours. And so we went to Black Wall Street to make relationships there and to get funding partners and all sorts of things. And while I was there, I got to see my family, and I saw a picture, Vanessa, of Sarah. And I heard her tragic story, I don't even want to repeat it here, but it was tragic at my exact age right now. And I just was like, God, I do not want that for us. Teach me how to live.
You know,
teach me how to live. I don't want that for us. I'm listening.
Let me see. You know, this year, I did a rites of passage for women, 9-week process and 4 days of in-person healing. One of the things that we culminate the program with is renaming. renaming women. They choose their name in a very ceremonial process because your name is your nature. That's what the name represents. Every time somebody calls your name, they are re-educating or educating your spirit as to its nature. And some of us have lived in trauma, with trauma, through trauma, and we still call it up because your soul hasn't been traumatized. Morgan's mind has, maybe Morgan's heart has, maybe Vanessa's heart, Vanessa. So when we can rename that, you know, and educate our soul and our spirit with a name that has a different meaning. So that's such an important thing. It's just an important thing for us to get a new nature. When you say, I don't want that for us, it simply means that we want a new nature, a new way of being. And it's hard work. It is hard work for me, born Rhonda Eva Harris, to be Yanla Van Zandt. It's hard because I didn't have a role model for how to be a woman who makes her own choices and decisions, who governs her, runs her own company. I didn't have a role model for that. Now, you know, you are younger than me, so you at least had maybe a Susan Taylor or Oprah Winfrey or a Ruby Dee
no,
or
we
whoever.
Had
I didn't even.
We had you know. That's what they're trying to tell you. So I hope you stay that path because we follow it. I'm telling you, yes. And yes, we have Oprah. And yes, we have Whoopi Goldberg. And yes, we have like women who are brave. Black women who are brave. And we're following. And you're right. When I went to college, my first name is Tanya. So you might see T. Morgan Dixon. I just said, nope, I'm just about to be Morgan. And it's because it was my daddy's family name. And they're from Mississippi. And they were brave. And mm-hmm. my grandmother on that side was brave, and I called myself Morgan, and I wanted to be an athlete and all sorts of things. And now I am feeling some kind of call on my life that is just like so bright and so big, and it's going to I can't control it. I have to surrender to what is bigger and brighter and elevated, and that feels exciting. And I have no idea what I'm doing.
And you won't because the model of a woman of color living her joy out loud as a multidimensional being. See, here's the thing we also need to understand is our ancestors and, you know, until very recently, really until the 21st century, we were all attached to third dimensional reality. That means the physicality, what you can see, what you can hear, what you can taste, what you can touch, what you can smell. And that's why slavery was so devastating, because it impacted every single one of our third dimensional senses. You know, we could hear it, see it, taste it, smell it, feel it. We're living in a time now where we have access to multi-dimensions, meaning you can create anything in your mind with a breath. When you think of mindfulness meditation, transcendental meditation, conscious connected breath meditation, where you can really harness the power of your mind as a creative tool. The sciences, the technologies that we have now, you know, I am a EFT practitioner where we can tap energy out of the cells in our body, where there's certain sound frequencies now that will alter your DNA. We have a multi-dimensional reality and multi-dimensional technologies that lift us beyond the third dimension where suffering and sorrow and trauma exist. We are so fortunate. Unfortunately, many of us, because of the colonialization and the really the abuse, spiritual abuse, that we've experienced through traditional religious walks and traditional religious dogma, we don't avail ourselves of these things. We don't avail ourselves of the technologies that are available to us, of the healing that just happens. I have never been on a therapist couch in my life. Never. And hear me when I tell you, I was crazy as the day is long. I was 24 hours of crazy, okay? For me, it was technology. It was prayer. It was breath. It was meditation. It was, like you say, laying on of hands. It was sound. It was color. It was light. It was learning various forms of breathing and meditation. It was walking. It was yoga. And I don't have a problem with therapy at all. I don't have a problem. But I'm just saying, when I started this work 40 years ago, wasn't no Black people going to no therapist.
Right.
I didn't even
know. Have you ever heard of Herbert Benson? Have you ever heard of the man Herbert? I think it's Herbert Benson. I know you go to Omega a lot. He's there sometimes. It don't matter. He's a man who does some. He wrote a book called The Relaxation Response. And one time I was reading it, I had to close that book because he went into a whole chapter about everything you just said, and it was all of our technologies. He was like in call and response, and the clapping of hands, and the drumming, and all of these things change their frequency. I was like, I know, sir. Give us our credit. So you're right.
So, and our grandmothers and our great-great-grandmothers, they did it to the best. They did call and response, and they did hand clapping. My grandmother, who was a Native American, who's a Cherokee indigenous woman, taught me that every time you clap your hands, the angels come to attention. They're just waiting for your instructions. She said, so when you're praying and you offering worship and praise, clap your hands so the angels will come around. And angels are just the presence of spiritual energy that is no longer embodied. That's no longer embodied. But again, we have to be willing to see it, hear it, do it, experience it in a different way. Because the old way, it's just not working anymore. It's mm-hmm. not going to work. Mm-hmm. You can't do enough, and you can't read enough, and you just can't. You got to be willing to become a multi-dimensional being and create things and experience things on levels that are not available to the eyeballs.
Yes. You cannot do enough. You got to be enough.
Yes.
You said that early on. You got to stop doing and start being. And even when we walk, we like clap the earth with our feet. And it's like that. Yes. Vanessa and I, when we first started this, we thought we had intuition that we were doing something as spiritual practice. Not even intuition. We had read your books. We had some knowledge. And the CDC said that if you walk 30 minutes a day, that could reduce heart disease and all sorts of things. So we also knew there was a double kind of third dimension element to it. But there's something when you think about like Thich Nhat Hanh and all these people who talk about kissing the earth with your feet. It is hard to sit in silence for somebody who has been bred to work, right? So there's something about the walking meditation that is a good middle ground before you can just be still, that you can walk. And you can kind of be present and be and hear the sounds of nature and hear the pounding of your feet. That has been really, really powerful. Really powerful. When I used to walk in Ghana, this seamstress across the street stopped me one time and she said, do you know there are angels walking in front of you? And I was like, I'm not do now. I was like, yes, Jesus. Oh, thank God. And so I believe everything you're saying, and I don't have to fully understand it, but I am willing to be in the presence of what is good.
Yeah.
I'm willing to be in it every day. Z, I think you were trying to say something.
But you were going to say something right now, Ayala, and then I can say what I was going to say.
No, I was just breathing.
So take a breath. I was going to say... we gathered you here. This whole conversation is such a treat. And I know the women who are walking are going to be so blessed by everything that you said. And the reason that we reached out to you and gathered today to walk with you is because we're celebrating
the end of our girl trek season. So we have a season at the end of each year. We celebrate all the accomplishments. And in a minute, we're going to call the names of some of the organizers who are getting awards. But I wonder if I saw recently in your interview with Tamron Hall, I think it was on the Tamron Hall, I watched a couple of interviews, and you were talking about your own feelings around at times feeling like a fraud. And you were talking about the passing of your daughters and how you had to get past that. And you're speaking with so much authority on this call. You know so much. You have your wisdom is so right there. But I'm wondering if you could speak to all of the women who we want to celebrate today, regardless of if they're getting an award or not, regardless of if they walked all the days they were supposed to or not, because it's like, if you made it one day, you made it to this walk, you are worth celebrating. We know that. But I know there are so many women in our community, Ayanla, who believe they are also frauds, who somehow don't believe that they are deserving of the celebration that we want to bestow upon them, who do not believe that they are worthy of the light that we want to shine on them. And I wonder if you could speak to our whole community right now and to all of the women who are feeling exactly like that.
Yeah, because the masculine domination, remember I talked about it's comparison and competition. That's what masculine does. And I'm not making men wrong or masculine energy wrong. You know, everything God created, everything source brought forth has a function. And that's what they do. You know, that's why they running out there playing football and in their drawers playing basketball. You know, the male energy thrives on competition and comparison. But that's not who we are. And, you know, as human beings, we all have an ego. We all have that voice within us. And spiritually or psychologically, the ego is the part of us that eases God out, that keeps us separate from God. And it's really, you know, what the Bible calls the devil. But it's that voice that is always challenging source, questioning source, keeping us believing that we are separate from source. You know, your body over there, my body over here, which makes us have to compete, which makes us have to compare. So, you know, as a person that, you know, the last 43 years of my life have been committed to supporting and facilitating evolution of human consciousness, helping people heal. And both of my daughters were sick and I couldn't help them. So, you know, the ego just used that to beat me up with. Oh, you can help everybody, but you can't help your own children. What are people going to say? And, you know, whatever. So both in Jamia's case, which was just devastating, 20 years this year. She died on Christmas Day, 2003. But I remember that first 6 months when that thought, because again, the human brain has a negativity bias. And when it gets a negative thought, it's like a dog with a bone. And that thought will just, it'll gnaw on it, gnaw on it, gnaw on it. And I was running around, I was swinging between running around doing speaking engagements to make money and trying to help my daughter heal. And I needed the money to be able to take care of her. So, you know, it was like, you're a fraud. You're fake. You can't really help nobody. Why can't you help your own kid? You know, and I'm reminded of Yeshua on the mountain when he was really trying to get in alignment with God. And the devil said, oh, you hungry? Take these bricks and make them into some bread, you know? I had my Jesus in the mountain opportunity. And so very often, because of competition, because of comparison, as women, we think unless everything is perfect according to somebody else's standards, that what we're doing isn't good enough. So we think that we could be great at work, but we got an unemployed husband, or we could be great in our career or in our community service, but our son or daughter is doing drugs, or we could be good. And then we take that on because as women, we're usually the beast of burden. Everybody's business is our business. We're responsible for everybody. We take that on to discount the value, the worth, the power, the truth that we are. It is a trick of the ego, the deceptive intelligence. It really, really is. And so when Jamia died 20 years ago, I experienced it. The blessing is that when Misa passed in July when she made her transition, and that bugger started in my brain. You know, here you go again. You can save the world, and you can't save your own children. You ain't this, and you know. And then this is how I got healed of that affliction. People were putting that online. People wrote online, I told y'all she won't nothing. And I mean, it was violent. And when I saw it with my eyeballs, I said, that is what you're doing to yourself inside. And it's just manifesting out here. What are you doing? Because nothing happens on the outside that doesn't first happen on the inside. So to all of us out there who have those thoughts that we got to be perfect, our farts can't stink, and our breaths got to be minty when we wake up in the morning, stop it. Stop it. It is the deceptive intelligence. And here is what the Holy Spirit of God, Source Creator, told me. And I'm going to share it with you. When I was in that pit of thinking because I couldn't save my daughter's life, that the work that I did was of no value or worth. Here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Oh, you're going to be tested. Because of the light that you carry. God needs light. He doesn't need people engulfed in darkness. And the darkness job is to block out the light. Oh, you will be tested because of the light that you carry. God, the spirits of light, the spirits of darkness, which is the ego, the deceptive intelligence, they don't need the crackhead. They already got the crackhead. They want the one that is feeding homeless people. That's light. They want the one that's working with teenagers. That's light. They want the women making headway in the corporations. That's light. They want the ones who are doing the inner work to heal themselves. That's light. So the spirit of darkness, the deceptive intelligence of the ego, is going to come for you based on the degree of light that you are shining in the world. So game on, buckle up, and let's get it started.
Yes, let's get it started. Let's get it started. That's exactly right, Ayanna. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Game on.
With that, can we ask you to uplift the names of a few women in our community who are that exact light that you are talking about
before we close out
our conversation? Yeah, we want to, I think you have the names. You got the names in front of you?
I do. I certainly do have them.
Look, I don't got no drum roll, Morgan, but Ayanla, we would love it if you could announce first who is our Girl Treks 2023 Crew Leader of the Year.
Because of the light in her soul and her commitment to herself, to her creator, to her community, and to her every woman in her matriarchal and patriarchal line, the crew leader of the year is Rochelle Jones of Pasadena, California. Yay!
Yay, Rochelle!
Let's get them angels working. Yeah.
Come on. Okay,
amazing.
And can we announce our 2023, we now have Organizer of the Year.
I certainly can, because of the light that she carries in her being and her body, and that she is elevating not just her community and her sisters that walk with her, that she is elevating her matriarchal and her patriarchal line. Our Bullhorn Award for Organizer of the Year is Sarah Priesta of Orangeburg, South Carolina. Yay!
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. She's going to be so happy. Shout out to you, Sarah. All right, do you want to give the last award?
Yes, I do.
Right.
We have one more, and this is our
Sister's Keeper of the Year Award. And just like you said, Ayanla, I'm not just my sister's keeper. I am my sister. And this woman has shown everybody in the country that she is our sister. So please, if you could announce our 2023 Sister's Keeper of the Year Award.
Sister's Keeper Year of the Award for all of the light in her being and her body, elevating her ancestors in her matriarchal and patriarchal line. The winner is Tamika Murray of Staten Island, New York. Yay!
Yay! Yay! Yay! Shout out to Staten Island. Yay, Tamika. That's amazing. That is amazing, y'all. Well, V.
We are amazing.
We are
amazing. And you are amazing. And what you have done is amazing. And the women who walk together are amazing. I got to get a new T-shirt. My T-shirt.
Absolutely. You got all the T-shirts. You got an open credit. You got all the T-shirts.
Yeah.
Listen, it has been a pleasure to walk with you for 25 years. It has been a pleasure to watch you. And the thing that I love most about you is that you are you tell the truth, not even just about what you know and what you have experienced on. You used the word spiritual violence earlier, but spiritual enlightenment even. Like, you have experienced both, and you are not afraid to say it. And it has inspired me so much over the years. It really has. I'm just grateful. I, like, definitely bow down to all of the things that you have been through and all of the victories and all of the good fighting, all of the good fighting and the bright light that you carry. And I tell you that we circle around you as a sisterhood. We circle around you as a friendship. We circle around you as Black women, that no weapon formed against you will ever prosper, because you also are out there in the front as a drum major for this movement of joy and justice. And I want you to feel safe always, and I want you to feel supported always. So I want to let you know that we, on behalf of Girl Trek, Vanessa and I are just grateful for who you are and grateful for the sacrifices that you have made in your life. And I'm so thankful. I really am just so thankful for who you are. So I wanted to just say that. I don't know if it's on the air. Doesn't matter. Like, I just wanted to tell you thank you as well.
Thank you so much. I really, really, really appreciate that. And see, that's how I know I'm not a fake and a fraud. But you can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears. And if anything that I've done or said, or if any way that I've been has inspired y'all to do what you have done, oh my God. That ain't fake.
Whew. Yeah. I know, we got receipts.